Coming up on the Free For All, you know it's starting Thursday. Yes, the quarterfinal. No, football. Football, folks. Football is here. Joining me in the studio, Jonathan Clegg, former football writer, Wall Street Journal sports editor, and also ex-Wall Street Journal football writer Kevin Clark from The Ringer. Next on the Free For All.
This is Free For All from The Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
Hey, it's your friend Jason here in the free-for-all. It's September. Summer's over. I mean, I know it's technically not summer over, but it effectively is. Kids are going back to school. Even my firstborn going to school. I'm so psyched about it. But the biggest indicator that summer is over is that the NFL is here. And joining me in the studio is the person that I would love to talk about football, and I do mean North American football, not the other football. The person I'd love to talk about it more than anyone on the planet, Wall Street Journal sports editor, Jonathan Clegg.
Hello.
John, how are you?
Good. Excited. Football season is upon us.
And for people who don't know John and love John and have followed John's football coverage over the years, John was a correspondent who covered the New York Giants for the journal for years and years, decades.
For a whole 2 years.
For 2 years.
Not the most auspicious years for the Giants, but.
Yes. But John loves this great game. And what do you love about it, John? What do you love about North American football?
The truth is I love absolutely everything about football. I'm a total, like, geek for the strategy side of it. Love the... growing up, I used to love the uniforms.
This is not a new thing.
No. I've been an NFL fan for, 30 years, I guess. Yeah, almost.
And your team when you were a young man growing up was who?
And still is the, as they were then, Los Angeles Raiders, now the Oakland Raiders. And
soon to be the what? Reno Raiders? The Las Vegas Raiders?
San Antonio Raiders, whatever they're going to be.
What is the status of that, briefly?
Well, it looks like the Vegas thing. They're certainly trying to make it look like the Vegas thing is real.
They've registered the URL.
Which,
once you've done that, you're basically broken ground
exactly
on the stadium.
They're
right?
Halfway out the door already, yeah. It feels like. I don't know. I still think it's kind of posturing, because I always think these things are posturing until, deal is done. But... I don't know. I kind of, as much as I'd like them to stay in Oakland, I kind of think the Vegas Raiders is kind of wild and would be exciting. And
I don't.
No
see it
team could make it work other than the Raiders.
I think it's a tremendous boondoggle waiting to happen. The idea that you would come to Vegas and destination entertainment would be and I say this respectfully, a mediocre to subpar football team. I could either see Elton John or Britney Spears and take my kids and, like, give them the experience of a lifetime seeing Britney Spears, or I can see the Raiders tie the Chargers 13-13 in overtime.
Jason, you obviously haven't looked at the Raiders roster recently, because pretty
no, I know.
Exciting
I get
season
to that.
For the Silver
I listen, I know that there's a lot of fever out there.
There
I'd
is.
Love to short the Raiders. That's a little Wall Street action for you. I'd love to short the Raiders if I could. But
boo.
Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You watched some of the college football, Clegg?
I did.
What'd
Absolutely.
You watch?
Caught most of Texas Notre Dame.
Okay.
Which was very exciting.
Yes.
And I watched some of last night's Florida State-Ole Miss game.
Right. Also a comeback there.
Also a comeback, yeah. The third quarter, I watched almost all the third quarter when they scored whatever it was, 23 unanswered points or whatever.
John, I have a hard time. Part of it is that I love tennis and the U.S. Open is underway now. But I don't know what to do with college football in late August, early September. I have nowhere to put it. I don't care that much. I'm the classic. I grew up in the Northeast. I went to a Big Ten school, but we were crummy when I went to Wisconsin.
Well, you missed a good Wisconsin game. Yeah.
Define good. I mean, we won the football game, but I believe the score, final score was, what, 16-13 or something?
It was not a high score.
Pretty dismal in terms of action. And also, another one of my huge peeves on neutral site game. I don't care that they played at Lambeau Field. What's the matter with Camp Randall? It's one of the great stadiums in college football. What's the matter with everybody? These neutral site games have got to go.
I agree.
But I just can't deal with why can't they start college football like the third week of September?
Well, that's fair. I mean, this is partly a U problem. I think this is partly a U.S. Open problem. They got to move that tournament in years when the Summer Olympics happens. That needs to go end of July. Get that in before the Olympics.
So, yep. Like a week after Wimbledon ends, start up the U.S. Open?
Exactly.
You realize it'll be 118 degrees on the court in Queens.
It's like 108 degrees right now. I mean, the temperatures are always crazy.
Well, you know what? There are probably lots of people who agree with you because we live in a world now where football rules everything. I just feel like I'm standing in front of a giant wave and I can't do anything about it. Football is so dominant a cultural force now, so I'm just, you know, my little bleeding, like a sheep. My sheep bleeding goes no place because football rules the universe, right, John?
Football is back, and you're going to know about it.
Football is back. You see this tweet on Twitter? You're on the Twitter, John?
I am on the Twitter, yep.
No, but you see this on Twitter a lot, but people saying, starting Sunday, there are no weekends without football until blah, blah, blah. And the melancholy of that doesn't seem to register with people. It's like saying goodbye to their children and their families for 8-hour sessions each Sunday. Like, there's some sadness to that too, or am I in the firm minority there?
I don't know. I prefer to think of it as like they're opening the windows of the advent calendar before Christmas. It's, you know, we're so close.
One of the ones with chocolate in
it? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, except
every day is a little
instead
treat.
Of chocolate, it might be a Jets game.
Right.
Season opener is who?
Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Rematch of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You watched that one?
I did. That was nothing special, that Super Bowl. I mean, I know people will disagree, but I don't think it was a terribly exciting game. I mean, Denver...
wasn't a terribly exciting game because you sort of felt like you knew what was going to happen even though the score remained
right.
quite tight.
Well, Denver won with a defense and basically a bot playing offense.
I know. First NFL season to kick off without Peyton Manning since 1998, whatever it is.
Unless you count last year.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that year he missed with the
no disrespect to Peyton Manning. But that is sort of one of the storylines here as we've lost some of our titans of the game and who are the new generation. But I think that's a little bit of an overcooked idea. I mean, Tom Brady is coming back.
Right.
I mean, you know, and the new generation of people, when people would say, like, oh, you know, like, there's a new generation like Cam Newton. It's like, Cam Newton, he's been around for 7 years. What are people talking about?
Aaron Rodgers. Heard of him. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like these people, you know, like the U.S. Open has new generations. Like, who's that guy from the Ukraine? I've never heard of him in my entire life.
Right.
The NFL, I don't know. Is there such a thing? Jameis Winston.
Yeah. But everyone knows Jameis Winston. It's not like, you know, like you say,
such
it's
known quantities.
Like, it's not the same deal. Marcus Mariota, maybe.
Do you miss the day-to-day of covering football?
I do, yeah.
Let me ask it another way.
Yeah.
What do you miss, if you miss anything, about that life?
Well, I think, I find it hard to watch, you know, a lot of football. Like right now, I used to have an excuse, you know, I sort of used to feel
you could justify obliged, all your watching.
Obliged to watch it all the time. Whereas now I've had to dial that back. But I feel like the thing that I enjoyed most about it was actually, you know, getting to know these guys in the locker room, which, you know, you have really no sense of who sort of 98% of the players in the NFL are, like what they're actually like.
Yeah.
Unless you, you know, cover a team and spend time around them all
who
the
time. Who was a player that was completely the antithesis of what we imagine them to be?
Well, I will say that my all-time favorite player to cover was Martellus Bennett when he was on the Giants, now with the New England Patriots.
That's right.
He was just the complete antithesis of everything you would expect of an NFL player. Mm-hmm. Seemed to be, didn't really, you know, wasn't super into the game of football, recognized that there were much bigger and more important things in his life than playing football.
Yeah.
Just a really great, sweet guy. Really great guy to
be. Big news for Martellus. He was drafted by my fantasy team last night.
Oh, he was drafted by mine too.
Oh, so, was he really?
Yeah, there you go.
I thought I made a nice pickup. It was pretty deep in the draft too.
Yeah.
Very dispiriting, the fantasy draft. I was fired up for it. I missed my first pick because one of my children threw up.
Ouch.
True story. And I was in there for picks 2 through 9, and then I just ran out of gas. And like, sitting around waiting for other people to pick when you're like 13th round, I can't do it. My backup defense. I let the bot pick the backup defense.
Yeah,
fine with me.
I did. I'm in a fantasy league with Jeff Foster. And we did an in-person draft.
Oh.
That thing took like 4.5 hours. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's actually longer than the real NFL draft.
Thanks for the invite to that fantasy league, by the way. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I had to decline.
I'm not the Roger Goodell of that league. I can't just
There, there was
invites.
No invite. Okay, John, this is a surprise for you, but I want to reach out and make a phone call, a little bit of a blast in the past, because we're talking about... well, not X in your case, because you still edit and write about football occasionally for the Journal, but NX here at the Journal, Kevin Clark, who I believe is now on the phone joining us. Kevin, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here.
You are here. Now, Kevin, if you follow the Wall Street Journal, you may know that Kevin defected to the Ringer, Bill Simmons' sports empire, which began... late last year with podcasts, and now has expanded into web and television and so on. And Kevin was one of the big, you were one of the marquee hires. You were a prime free agent, Kevin.
I was a waiver wire pickup?
No, you're selling yourself short.
In the sports media fantasy draft, I'm not. The rounds 2 through 9 in your fantasy draft, I would not have been included.
You are, in fact, the Martellus Bennett of the...
Well, Clegg is shaking his head when I said that you were a marquee pickup, but I really believe, Kevin, you did great work here. Don't tell me what temperature it is in L.A., because it's nice and warm here, too, but are you filled with regret about your move?
No. I went hiking. I went hiking yesterday a couple blocks from my house at a canyon.
Yeah.
I went to Malibu on Saturday. Yeah. So I'd much rather be in Hell's Kitchen.
But did anybody send you an angry email that segued from your Von Miller profile into a critique of Obama's second term?
I've not yet gotten that.
Okay. It's the void.
Different reader reaction. Now people ask me about like whether they should start DeAndre Hopkins or Antonio Brown. I'm equally unequipped to answer.
So they want real, like, nugget, bite-sized fantasy help from you. They're not interested in your fancy ideas.
They want fantasy and gambling help. Yeah, they don't like the big picture on Twitter. Let's get this fantasy show on the road. It's a very interesting...
Now, can you wear shorts to work at the Ringer? What's the deal?
I don't think so. I haven't tried, but I don't see many people doing that. It's a very casual office, but shorts are a bridge too far.
I imagine like the Wolf of Wall Street office. That's how I see it.
Yeah, there's a big microphone. Everyone comes and talks. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
I see it totally differently, Clegg. I think of it, and I mean this as a compliment. I think the greatest newsroom, real-life newsroom show in the history of television is the TMZ show, where Harry sits there. Is it Harry? Harry Levin?
Let's say, yeah.
Whatever. Harvey Levin sits there.
Harvey Levin, yeah.
And he drinks from a giant plastic cup of Starbucks. And everyone goes around the room and talks about the celebrities they saw. And they seem to be having the greatest time ever. It's so fun and lighthearted. And everyone's, you know, rowing in the same direction. I just think of every sort of Southern California media environment like that. You know, you have a fearless leader and Bill Simmons and the rest of you, you know, are sitting there and firing off ideas. Is that what it's like every day?
Just like TMZ, we just stake out celebrities outside of like West Hollywood nice restaurants like Nobu, but we don't take any photos. We just watch them.
Now, what's the best celebrity sighting, non-football edition you've had since moving out to LA?
Oh, that's a great question. I've seen Angelina Jolie.
Really?
That's a big one.
Yeah, sure. Where'd you see her?
Sure, around Hollywood. I mean,
around Hollywood. You got to do me better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she has an office somewhere around where our office is, and so I think she's around quite a bit. And now, you know, Scandal is also shot in Hollywood, so we've seen some of the stars there. I have not seen Kerry Washington, but there are rumors that she is in the vicinity.
Okay. Now, you sound like you're outside right now. Are you driving, like, you know, like
no,
Ari
no,
and
I'm,
Entourage?
No, I'm literally on the lot.
Oh, on the lot. I love it.
On the lot.
Kevin, what do you miss besides Clegg about New York? You don't even have to say you miss anything about the Journal. We're not looking for that. We're just, what do you miss about being back here in the Big Apple?
Here's the actual one thing I do miss a lot. I like the geography of the Northeast. I like cities being bunched together. I like the idea of going to Philadelphia and reporting, or Boston and reporting, or Baltimore and reporting, or even doing a nice little weekend.
That's
in
the
LA.
First time I like going down to Philadelphia has been given as a reason for missing New York.
As a reporter, it's quite easy. Here, L.A. is pretty far away from anything else. You go to San Diego, I guess, but it's not the same. We have to settle for the incredible canyons and nice beaches instead. We don't have Philadelphia nearby.
And Clegg, please jump in here if you want to verbally harass poor Kevin here. But Kevin, you now have football. I mean, did you know this?
Football's back.
Going into this job, I can't remember. Were the Rams a done deal before you took this job?
Yes, they were. The Rams were a done deal before the Super Bowl. And obviously we knew that there was going to be some sort of L.A. presence going back basically a year. And so it's been, since I moved out here in April, it's been an NFL town. I think that I'm surprised with how quickly it became an NFL town.
Yeah.
Like, people are really into it. I was, you know, I see a lot of Rams hats around. Like, I think that people thought it was going to be kind of an apathetic fan base.
Oh, you're not joking. I thought you were pulling our chain here. You're actually being serious that it's become an NFL town.
It's an NFL town. I'm not joking. I think that what happened, and this is like an interesting little experiment, they made football extremely cheap here because there's 90 to 100,000 seats in the Coliseum.
Right.
Okay. And so it's like not a lot of money to get in. It's not a lot of money to get into preseason games. Alex Smith was talking about how loud it was in the fourth quarter of a preseason game a couple weeks ago when the Rams played the Chiefs. He couldn't believe it. And the reason is because anyone can get in. And we go through this all the time with most major markets for the NFL, with the Jets or Giants or the Patriots. You just the casual fan cannot get into an NFL game, and they can here. And so I think that that's really helping. The accessibility of it all is really helping this become an NFL market maybe quicker than anyone ever thought.
So the boos for Jared Goff are going to be deafening when he makes it onto the field.
It is going to be, it's going to be Philadelphia West, absolutely.
Have you, you know, helped your fix, Kevin? Have you gone down to practice and, you know, hung out and talked to Jim? Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Jeff Fisher. I've met with some of the Rams people, yes.
Is it nice you wake up in the morning, you're like, I feel like going to a practice of a potentially 4-12 NFL team today?
Well, you know, I did used to live within like 30 miles of the Jets facility.
I know. So it's like, you know, scratching an old itch.
Right. So that's nice. I mean, it would be difficult to not have any NFL presence around here. I mean, it would be great if the Raiders moved either here or Las Vegas, just to make the Southwest a little more packed and populated with NFL teams. That'd be awesome. But, like, right now, having the Rams, I mean, there's going to be glitz. I mean, there's star power. Todd Gurley is really good. He's on the cover of ESPN, the magazine I just saw. So he'll at least be interesting. Tavon Austin is being paid like a number one receiver, even if he isn't a number one receiver. I want to see how they get to 7-9 because it's just going to happen. We know it's going to happen, and I just want to see how it happens.
On the subject of the Raiders, Kevin, who you mentioned there, how excited should I be for my Raiders this season?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I could see them going 9-7. And then it just depends on what the Chiefs do. Because I think the Chiefs started, 0-5, 0-6 for a reason last year, okay? And then they got hot. I could buy the Chiefs winning 13 games. I could also see them going 6-10. And so that's a fascinating thing to me. I see the Raiders winning sort of 9 or 10 games in a vacuum because I think they have a lot of talent. They don't have the holes they had in previous
years. By the way,
years.
That's on the table. The vacuum is also bidding for the Raiders.
And so I think it just depends what that race is like in the division as far as who can be good. You know, I don't see the Broncos winning more than 8 or 9 games.
I'm fired up, Kevin.
Come down to,
I'm fired up.
What do you think? Playoffs?
Playoffs. We're back. Playoffs. I book it.
Division title or wild card?
I think wild card. I'm like you. I think the Chiefs a little, maybe pip the Raiders to the AFC West
so
pennant.
My issue with that is I think that the loser of the NFC North, so either the Bengals or the Steelers, will get the first wild card. And then I think this is kind of crazy. I think the Jets might be good.
I thought you were going to say Dolphins then.
The Jets have a murderous schedule. I don't like the Jets as like
I don't buy their early season schedule stuff. Okay, they're going to Seattle. First of all, they're getting 10 points in Seattle. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. I want to go to Vegas for that. But we're talking about the Dolphins here or the Jets?
We're talking about the Jets.
Oh, I was talking about the Dolphins.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
The Dolphins have a murderous early season schedule. The Jets have a tough road to hoe as well. But I mean, for me, the Jets, they just have a lot of roster talent. They just have a lot of guys on that stacked defense. Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than a lot of people think. He's certainly an above average quarterback. And so I think they could scrounge out 11 wins. Why not?
Yeah.
They could have done it last year and they didn't really lose anybody.
Kevin, we got to take a quick break to pay for this thing. Can you come back and chat with us a little bit more?
Absolutely.
All right. Hold on just a quick second.
Hey, this is Steven Perlberg from the WSJ Media Mix podcast. Are you interested in the biggest changes in the media and advertising business, from Facebook to Snapchat? Tune into the WSJ Media Mix podcast for interviews with some of the biggest names in media, from Gawker CEO Nick Denton to Turner President David Levy. For more, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. This is Free for All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
Hey. It's your good friend Jason, and we are back talking football with WSJ editor, reporter, / genius Jonathan Clegg. And Wall Street Journal defector Kevin Clark, who has left us for the great coast of California and the Ringer. Kevin, you know, one of the things that you are known for, and there are many things you are known for, Kevin, you have a very, very brilliant way of reporting out both the idiosyncratic but also the big picture stories in the NFL. And one thing that has already come to happen this season, you know, before a regular season snap has happened, is the quarterback deficit is just astonishing, to the point where you know, you see the Vikings make the big machination to get Sam Bradford. And you referred to Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, grandly as an above average passer. How did we get to this point? It just seems like, you know, in the same way, like left-handed pitching or playing shortstop or center field or point guard, it's just like, it's such a desirable position. No one's like, I don't want to play quarterback. Everyone wants to take it a crack. How did we get to the point where like a third of the league is just, you know, unsalvageable because they don't have quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because you'd think that the market forces would get a lot of guys into pro-style offenses, kind of only concentrate on getting to the NFL, and it hasn't really happened. Even though a good quarterback can make $25, $30 million in some cases in 1 year, for whatever reason, the top quarterbacks in high school and in middle school are funneling into these spread offenses. They're staying there. They're going to schools like Baylor or Texas Tech. They're not learning a playbook. They are essentially running an offense in which, instead of reading a blitz, instead of being able to change protection schemes like you would in the NFL, they're essentially counting helmets, figuring out where to go with the ball before the snap, making one read on a play. And all of this looks very flashy and very exciting at the college level. But when you get to the NFL level, there are, you know, I had a coach say this the other day when I was talking to him, there are five things you have to be able to do before a snap in the NFL.
Yeah.
And those sort of spread quarterbacks are capable of zero of them.
What do you think, Clegg?
Yeah, I mean, I also wonder if there it may be, you know, a small measure to sort of bring it back to, you know, your terrain, Jason. I wonder if it's a bit like the situation in tennis where you just have these, like, guys at the top who are so much better than everyone else that they make all the rest of them look terrible. You know, the Brady and Manning are the Federer and Nadal, essentially, and you have the other guys. And then I think everyone else just looks so poor in comparison to them because you're talking about, you know, these sort of all-time greats who happen to be playing at the same time.
But, okay, to continue the analogy, who is the Mark Sanchez of tennis? And I would think that, you know, our Mark Sanchez equivalent is probably outside the top 200.
Yeah.
In terms of just the maddening issue, frustration.
Issue is that the ones who are average don't look like NFL quarterbacks, you know? Right. It's not like these guys can...
Or are made to not look like NFL quarterbacks, which is a different part of it.
Well, it's like that crazy Australian guy who always, you know, does crazy head scratching things.
Nick Kyrgios?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he would butt fumble if such a thing were possible in tennis.
But I don't think the question, I think it's more that he's a head case and not like a ding dong. You know what I mean? Like, he's a head case because he's got spectacular talent and doesn't know how to weaponize it correctly yet, and he's young, and you can see all these, you know, aspects that could make him a great player, and he is a top 20 player still. But it's, you don't look at him as being hopeless.
Oh.
You see
Ryan
a number.
Patrick is a top 20 quarterback.
This is
by
true.
The way.
This is true. I should point out, Kevin, and for our listening audience, that you can hear all these incredible thoughts from Kevin Clark and his colleague, Robert Mays, on what's the name of your podcast on The Ringer?
The Ringer NFL Show.
How'd you come up with that name?
A lot of brainstorming. A lot of consultants.
The Ringer NFL Show. And, Kevin, you know, how do you like having your own franchise? How do you like, you know,
it's
taking...
Good. It's good. You know, we're starting a regular season schedule soon, which means we'll do one sort of, I think, prediction podcast this week, and then it'll be a recap show every Monday for me, which I'm really excited about. You know, I think that it's... The NFL is such that you have to hit the reaction wave like in the first 5 hours of Monday, and then we've just moved on to the next week by like 4 p.m. on Monday. So I'm excited to sort of get my thoughts out into the open early Monday morning, and then look ahead starting on Tuesday.
Do you look at podcasts? Because in full credit to Bill and what he's been able to build, that nobody's done in the sports audio component what he's done, and obviously building with you guys. And do you look at the podcast now as almost equal level to your writing, or is writing still the engine?
It's a different group of consumers, and that's the thing I've been surprised by.
Really? It's a different audience?
Completely separate.
Huh.
And I know this only because when you write a story, you get X amount of emails, you know, a certain amount of Twitter people who are reacting to it. You sort of get to understand that. However, you know, the only time you really get reaction on a podcast is if you say something really kooky. And you say something like, Aaron Rodgers is my sixth best quarterback this year, which I said. I predicted him to be right. And so then, but then it's people you've never heard from. And those are the people who are reacting to it. And then the people who react to your stories, They clearly were not listening, because it's just a completely different group of people reacting. You just don't see the same overlap. And so I'm not sure why that is, but I do know that it's, you know, I'm still figuring out who the average Ringer NFL Show listener is, but they're not the people who are day in and day out consuming content in my Twitter feed, at the very least.
What I should add as well is, and I'm not one to throw plaudits Kevin's way, you know, without unless, you know, completely necessary, but he also did a really excellent sort of reported story that you sort of released as a podcast form about whether certain NFL offenses led to more injuries than others, which was really, I thought, was great, fascinating, really worth digging out for people listening.
Nice plug, Clegg.
Yeah.
Was Clegg your house husband? I mean, your office husband, rather.
He was. Well, I had a couple. I mean, it was a tight office. I mean, there was a group there. Clegg was obviously my best friend in the office, but then you've got your Ben Cohens, your Jeff Fosters.
But you and Clegg sat next to each other. You did some of the... Did you do senior week driving together? Like, what?
Senior bowl. That was,
senior bowl driving. That was it. That was big.
Yeah, that was good.
No, it was, when you're on an NFL beat together, there's a lot of time on the road together. It was
the week in New Orleans before the Super Bowl. That was a fun time.
Now, are
we
you
got there? We got there like a week early.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think about podcasts, and it's useful for people who write most of the time, is that, you know, the idea with a podcast, I think, is about audience engagement and about also just sort of building a following. And that, for some reason, has been weirdly anathema to people who write for a living. They, you know, they think of like audience building as some sort of like advertising or business or something unseemly about it. And there's nothing wrong with the idea of people coming to you as a destination and wanting to read what you write or how you think or get mad at it and so on. And that's so abundantly clear in podcasting, but feels less clear with print and newspaper writing, I think, especially. But Kevin, have you sort of let, you know, your, I have to admit, I haven't listened to every episode of the Ringer NFL show, but have you been letting people in on, you know, the inner Kevin Clark? Do you reveal little tidbits of your personality and your personal life?
Yeah, I think that is the key. I mean, I think being casual and being connected to the audience in a way that you would never in print is, especially in a reported story, is actually the key to the whole thing, because people want to get to know you in podcast form. I mean, just from a listener standpoint, you know, the pods I listen to, I like knowing about the people I'm listening to. So I'm not going to tell them where I had dinner the night before, but, you know, just generally revealing my personality in a way. You know, I would say the biggest challenge for me right now, guys, is saying stuff on the podcast has to be opinionated. And then, you know, at the Journal, you were never that, you could never be that opinionated, because then you had to do, you know, four features on team X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, you wanted to be careful to not offend anybody or anything like that, just because, you know, there was no outlet to say, you know, the Falcons are going 0-16 this year. Whereas in this job, it's more opinion on the podcast, and then still go back to write those features and hope you didn't offend too many people. But at the end of the day, you can't really worry about that stuff. The NFL teams understand that so much of it's become opinion that they're fine if you say, you know, look, I said Aaron Rodgers is a sixth best quarterback. I went to Green Bay on my training camp tour and nobody cared.
Yeah. What did you have for dinner last night, Kevin?
I had tacos.
Oh, I thought you said cheese.
I thought you said cheese,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. That would have been fantastic. I just had a big brick of cheese.
I had
William of Parmesan.
I had Blue Apron. I had Blue Apron tacos.
Oh.
You had Blue Apron tacos.
Yeah, a Ringer NFL show sponsor.
Oh, that's right. You have to do the read-throughs, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Do you get the underpants?
I've done that, yeah, sure.
All right. Well, that's great. Kevin, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. You know who I see in my neighborhood, Kevin, is our mutual friend Peter Schrager. He's sleepy-eyed, sitting on a bench outside this coffee shop that we both go to, because he's now the host of Good Morning Football.
When I was talking about celebrity sightings, how come you didn't mention you see Peter Schrager all the time?
You know, Peter Schrager is so beyond celebrity now that it's like, you know, it's like saying you saw the sun. But
he's on every channel.
You know what he's hosting? He's hosting the NFL breakfast show called Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
And so he broke it down for me the other day. You know, Peter used to work with me at Fox Sports 1, very talented guy, knows a ton about football. He and Kevin sort of, you know, share a brain, at least, or also a Rolodex mentally. But Peter has to wake up now at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Woof.
He just, Clegg just went woof. Oh, I guess you heard that. But then he has to walk down. They send a car for him, the NFL. You gotta love it. They send a car for him. He goes down and gets in the car at 4 o'clock in the morning and just sleeps in the car to the office, gets there 5-something, and then he just does the show. And it's, you know, come to think of it, Peter's getting up a little too early, I think. You know, it's how hard can it starts at 7 a.m. I mean, he can wake up at 5. You know, I don't need 3 o'clock sounds a little early. I think 6 months into this thing, he's going to be waking up at 5.
My wife works for the Daily Mail. They actually keep similar hours. She has a car come collect her around the same time.
At 3 a.m.?
Like 4:30. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Pretty crazy.
And what does that do to her internal clock?
Nothing good. Nothing good.
Yeah, he talks about how he has to power through not napping and all that stuff, and I just, oh, man, not for me. Kevin, what about your TV dreams? Is something going to get you to host? I would like, you know, I know that there's television opportunities in football and so on, but don't sleep on KTLA morning shows. Like, I love that form in LA. They sort of invented it. You know, Regis was Regis out there before he came to New York and did live with Regis and Kelly, or with Kathy Lee, rather. I think you could be an all-arounder, Kevin, is what I'm saying. I think you could host a full, you know, morning show, a little bit of news, a little bit of weather, a little bit of, like, animal news. You know, Kevin Clark, just
like,
think about
like
it.
Like David Letterman's morning show in the 70s?
Yeah. Have you bleached your teeth?
I got to work on that.
All right.
No, you know, there's a lot of TV out here.
Do you feel more conscientious of your physicality? I mean, you're a damn handsome man, Kevin. But like a lot of people, they go out to LA and they feel like they're just a face in the crowd now because, you know, the most beautiful, this has been said 1,000 times, but the most beautiful person in every high school goes to LA to try to become a somebody. And, you know, all of a sudden they're swimming in a pool of just all this glamour and gorgeousness. And it can do a number on your psyche. Has that happened to you yet, Kevin? No?
Anytime I feel inferior looks-wise, I just drop a hot football take, and then I feel the smartest guy in the room.
You already had the weird eating habits down before you even moved to L.A., which was good.
Does that mean, like, I just eat salads?
Yeah, or, like,
regular diet.
Do you juice? Do you fast?
No.
Okay. What's your workout situation?
It's a little harder here. It's
working
a little
out?
Harder here because
there's no gym like there is at the Journal.
I also had a large park called Central Park.
Yes.
That you could run 5 miles extremely easily from your apartment and back.
Okay.
And here in LA, there's no such large park near me.
All right. Well, listen, if you ever want to come back to New York and hang out in a park.
We'll run around the park with you.
We'll run around the park with you. And in all seriousness, we'd love to have you back at the Journal. There is an opening covering Municipal Court in Queens that we think you'd be a good applicant for. No, but in all seriousness, it's a pleasure to have the great Kevin Clark, former WSJ football columnist extraordinaire, now with the Ringer Sports Network, a writer and also the host of the Ringer NFL Pod, the co-host of the Ringer NFL Pod. Kevin, when do people download this episode? I know they automatically get it into their phones, but when do you typically put one up?
So we're recording one tomorrow morning. That should be in everyone's feed tomorrow afternoon. That's the three of us, Robert Mays, Danny Kelly, and myself. And then Robert and I start our weekly NFL show Monday following the first regular season Sunday.
Okay.
Which is this Sunday.
And are you going to be like, we forgot to ask the most important question of Kevin. Kevin, what do you think about now you're going to be able to watch football at 10 in the morning?
I got to adjust to that.
Into it or not into it?
You know, Clegg used to rip me because on Saturday nights I used to take it easy. Remember this? I like don't drink a lot on Saturday night. He used to call it monk-like. I think that you need to be in pocket and of clear mind for NFL Sundays. So Saturday nights I would just have maybe one beer and hit the hay. And so my lifestyle is aligning closely with the ability to wake up at 9 a.m. and watch Jay Glazer on Fox.
It's going to be 6 a.m. now, though.
It's going to be 6 a.m. And also, what is Jay's show on Ballers? What do you think of Ballers, Kevin? Are you contractually obligated to like Ballers, I guess?
Oh, because of the HBO thing?
Yeah.
I like Ballers. This is a terrible thing to say after 2007, but like I really enjoyed Entourage.
Yeah.
And so I know that there was an era where it was okay to say that, but now it's not.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a natural successor. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing to just have.
I'd like you to get on there. I think the Ballers could use a little bit of Kevin Clark. I mean, Ballers
that would be so good.
I don't want to be a reporter. I want to be a football. I want to be like with Terrell Suggs.
You want to be like an agent, like a guy around a player, or you want to be a player?
I want to be a player. I want them to be like, I just want to appear as my natural self, and I want them to pretend I'm like a
linebacker. I'll ask Clegg this. In all honesty, could you cast Clark as a kicker and pull it off?
Oh my God.
You could cast him as a Danny Woodhead type, you know.
I think you'd have to hit the gym a little bit more.
This is ridiculous.
All right.
CGI. You can do all sorts of things with CGI.
I could be a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm like 5'11". I'm taller than Russell Wilson.
You sound like you're actually auditioning on draft day. I like it. By the way, how many times have you seen draft day overall?
Once.
Just once? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Kevin Clark.
It's probably my least watched Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah. Oh,
I've
yeah, you've watched
up like six times.
All right, Kevin, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon in rainy, horrible Los Angeles, where the sun never shines. And you've been listening here to the Free For All. I'm Jason Gay. Thank you to my other guest, John Clegg, editor, Wall Street Journal sports section. As always, you can download Wall Street Journal podcasts on iTunes and Spotify and wherever else your fine podcasts are sold. We'll be back here on the Free For All with some more guests from the Wall Street Journal universe coming up soon. Thanks.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.